My friend Brian traveled the open road on U.S. Route 66 with his father. They meandered the western two-thirds of the United States from Chicago, Illinois to Santa Monica, California. They got their kicks on Route 66. Brian showed me a box of memorabilia he picked up along the way, including some Route 66 postcards, which remind me of two New Testament epistles penned by the Apostle John. 2nd and 3rd John are short enough to fit on a postcard. But don't let their brevity fool you. They contain enough theological octane to fill your tank full of gospel fuel. They will also challenge you to reject false doctrine by walking in truth, love, obedience, generosity, and hospitality. Are you ready for some gospel fuel? I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
The Christian church is worldwide, but it's also localized. Hello, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by for this Friday edition of Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Almost everywhere you go, you'll find community churches, life groups, small group Bible studies. But no matter where these churches are, however large or small, they should have at least one practical thing in common. Ron shares that commonality with us next, as he continues his Something Good teaching series, Route 66, the ultimate road trip through the Bible. Stay right here or visit somethinggoodradio.org to listen on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now with today's Something Good Radio message, 2nd and 3rd John, walking in truth, love, and obedience. Here's Dr. Ron Jones.
All politics is local. How many times have you heard that phrase? We can just go up the road a few hours and we're in the nation's capital, and you know, politicians in Washington, D.C. like that phrase, you know, all politics is local. It reminds me of a particular politician from many, many years ago. His name was Thomas Tip O'Neill. He served as the Speaker of the House of Representatives for a period of time. He was a representative from Boston, Massachusetts, I think northern Boston. And he was particularly attuned to this idea that all politics are local. He was a savvy politician. And oftentimes he would defeat his legislative opponents by taking a national bill and making a local issue out of it. That's some savvy politics. He would push his opponents into the corner and say, if you don't vote for this bill, it's going to affect your local election. That's hardball politics in Washington, right? And because of that skill, Tip O'Neill served as Speaker of the House from 1977 to 1987. That's 10 years, 5 congressional terms. That makes him the third longest serving Speaker of the House of Representatives in the United States of America. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with the ultimate road trip through the Bible? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because in a similar way, all New Testament ministry is congregational. It's localized. The body of Christ worldwide is localized into churches. And most churches even further localize into smaller neighborhood groups, or what we call life groups. Back in the first century, as the early church grew larger, it also grew smaller. And the same has been happening for 2,000 years. As Christians, we are simultaneously part of something larger and smaller. We're part of something that's worldwide and localized down to our own neighborhood in the congregation we're a part of. I want us to keep that in mind as we arrive at the next stop on the ultimate road trip through the Bible. The Apostle John wrote 2nd and 3rd John as sort of follow-up postcards to his first epistle, known as 1st John. And 1st and 2nd John, rather 2nd and 3rd John, are smaller because, John says at the end of each of these postcards, I have more to say to you, but I'm anticipating a face-to-face encounter. So he just writes a brief thing to kind of get the conversation started. But 2nd and 3rd John are just packed with incredible insights into local church congregational life. The Lord sort of lifts the lid on the church and gives us a peek inside. John writes 2 John to a specific house church. We would call it a life group, maybe. And he addresses this house church as the elect lady and her children. We don't know exactly who that is, but that's how he addresses them. He refers to himself as the elder in 2 and 3 John. In 2 John, the word truth appears three times in John's salutation. And he commends the elect lady and her children for walking in the truth, which is synonymous for obeying God's commandments. He also commends them for loving one another. And in doing so, he draws from some powerful themes that he's already written about in 1 John. And then John warns this small congregation about the false teachers. These are the false teachers he wrote about in 1 John and distributed that letter to the broader network of house churches. So with all of that as background, let's go first to 2 John and explore this a little bit further. And under kind of the category of walking in truth and love, this is where John begins and continues the conversation from 1 John. Let's pick it up in verse 4, where he says, "I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it." Now, John writes with that trademark fatherly tone that we got to know in his first letter, and he revisits the major themes he wrote about in his first epistle. He commends the elect lady and her children for walking in the truth. He says, "just as we were commanded by the Father." Twice, John mentions the commandment which they heard, he says, from the beginning. A simple commandment, to love one another. And by the time John wrote this epistle, there were probably 50 or 60 years that had passed since Jesus delivered this very simple commandment about loving one another in the upper room. 50 or 60 years had passed. Remember, John is now an aging apostle. He's the last of the living apostles. And since Jesus taught this important command, the truth hasn't changed, is John's implication. We heard this from the beginning, and it hasn't changed. By the way, it hasn't changed in 2,000 years either. Love God, love one another. Jesus said those are the first and second commandments, and it fulfills the entire law. Love God, love one another. And he brought his disciples back to that truth of loving one another in the upper room. In fact, in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And you also are to love one another." And then he goes on to say this, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." I remember years ago, I was living in Houston, Texas, and there was a church that advertised itself as the Oasis of Love. I wouldn't just love to attend a church that calls itself the Oasis of Love. I thought it was kind of corny, but it was actually very biblical, very, very thoughtful. The idea was that when you came to this church, you stepped inside a place where you knew that you were loved by God and loved by others. Every church, whether they call themselves this or not, should be a church that is, in fact, an oasis of love. Jesus went on to say in the upper room there, John chapter 15 and verse 10, he ties obedience to love and to our intimacy with God. "If you keep my commandments," Jesus said, "you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Again, John is carrying over this idea from the first epistle into his second to love one another. And one another, that phrase one another is one of the most rich and powerful phrases that we will read in the New Testament. One another is two words in English, one word in the Greek language. The Greek word appears 100 times in the New Testament in 94 different verses. 47 of these verses are directed at believers and instructing us in how we are to relate to one another in the body of Christ. For example, Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4 and verse 25, speak truth to one another. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, comfort one another. James 5 and verse 16, pray for one another. Galatians 5 and verse 13, serve one another. And I could go on and on and on and on. All of these one another passages describe for us the way congregational life, the way local church ministry is to happen, authentic biblical community. And of course, the phrase love one another is the one that is most popular in the New Testament, rooted in the upper room discourse that John gave to, or that Jesus gave to his disciples, and that John, the beloved disciple who was leaning into Jesus, heard on the night before Jesus was crucified. Love one another appears in the New Testament more than any other one another phrase.
Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Ron Jones' message, 2nd and 3rd John, walking in truth, love, and obedience. If you're new to the program, we want you to know that all of Ron's messages are archived at our website, somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. When you stop by, use the Partner tab at the top of the homepage to check out the 828 Club, a special group of people who partner with Ron so that he can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a growing audience. Join the 828 Club from our website or give us a call at 757-276-1099. Again, that's 757-276-1099. False teaching was a problem for the early church more than 2,000 years ago. It's still a problem today. Here's Ron with the second half of today's Something Good radio message, 2nd and 3rd John, walking in truth, love, and obedience.
And friends, the way we love one another says that we are Jesus's followers and that we are walking in the truth. Jesus said, the outside world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So this is the first thing we must do. Love God, love one another. You say, well, how do we love one another, Pastor? What does that look like? Well, if we had time, we could go to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, and we could read, as we did previously, this beautiful description, some of the most beautiful literature in all of human history, but certainly in the Word of God, a description of how we love. Love is a verb. Love is something you put into action. It's patient, it's kind, and so forth. So that's the one of the major themes in 2 John. He says, I commend you for walking in the truth, walking in obedience to God's commands, and loving one another. And then John again picks up from his first letter and writes to this specific house church, the elect lady and her children, and warns about false teachers. Let's pick it up in verse 7. He says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. I'll come back to that in a moment. He says, such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Now listen to this. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. That's a pretty strong word from John. But he wanted to send fair warning to this house church about the false teachers. He commended the elect lady and her children for walking in the truth and loving one another. But John took nothing for granted because he knew as he was sending out itinerant preachers and missionaries, and they were making their way around to the house churches, he knew that there were false teachers that crept into their midst. And they were making their way around to the house churches as well, and they were spreading their false teaching. By the way, the same false teaching threatens the body of Christ today, and we need to be on the alert. Only today, false teachers can infiltrate the church through many other ways, via technology. They don't even have to be physically present to spread their false teaching in and among Christians today. By the way, too, every heresy the church faces today is a rehash of some false doctrine the church has dealt with over the last 2,000 years. For example, in the first century, the Gnostics, John says, did not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. What does he mean by that? Well, Gnosticism presented a false Jesus, a mistaken Jesus, an erroneous Jesus. The Gnostics taught something called dualism, and that was the idea that what really mattered was the spirit. The body and the flesh, the Gnostics said, was inherently evil. Therefore, God did not have a body. And the Christ, the Messiah, did not come in the flesh. That's a false Jesus. Because John says in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Sorry, Gnostics, you haven't read the Gospel of John. But they were presenting a false Jesus. And today, deceptive views of Jesus abound. John was concerned that the elect lady and her children would not follow the false teachers and lose their eternal reward, not their salvation, but he says your reward. That's a whole other discussion that we could have. And John goes on to offer no wiggle room about our relationship to false teachers. He says that any association with the deceiver makes us partakers of their wicked works. So he says, if you know of a false teacher, don't invite him over to your house. Don't extend any hospitality. If you see him in the Harris Teeter, don't even greet him, he says. No greetings to false teachers. If you associate with a false teacher who is presenting a false and erroneous Jesus, it's as though you are partakers in their wicked works. So, in 1 John, John is telling us to have fellowship with the Father. In 2 John, he's telling us to avoid fellowship with false teachers. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because John knows just how destructive false teaching can be in the church. And there are grave consequences for such. Now, that brings us to 3 John. And the book of 3 John is the shortest book in the Bible with only 15 verses. That's why I call it just a little postcard that he wrote. And unlike 1 and 2 John, the names of real people take center stage. In 2 John, he writes to the elect lady and her children, kind of a, you know, mysterious identification. John even calls himself the elder. But in 3 John, John directs this little postcard to a specific member of a specific house church. And he writes to a man named Gaius. And he refers to Gaius as my dear friend or my beloved friend 3 times in this very brief postcard. Let's pick it up in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. Now, John wants the best for his friend. And he says, Gaius, as your soul is prospering, I also want your life to prosper and your health to prosper. Here is a true friend who wants the best for his friend. John rejoices after hearing from others that his friend is walking in the truth. Those that were reporting to John were probably the itinerant preachers that he was sending around, the missionaries that were going around to the house churches. They came back and said, hey, there's this guy named Gaius. He is doing it right. He is walking in the truth. And that caused John to sort of swell with the pride of a father. And he says in verse 4 of 3 John, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." In this case, this was John's children in the faith. He had invested in their lives. Maybe he led Gaius to faith in Christ. We don't know. But this is the kind of verse, too, that every parent and grandparent can embrace. "I have no greater joy than to know that my children or my grandchildren are walking in the truth." Conversely, nothing grieves a Christian parent's heart more than to know that their child or their grandchild is wayward and is not following Christ. Maybe they grew up in the church. They know better. It grieves our heart. But when they're walking in the truth, boy, John just, his heart was full of joy. John goes on to commend Gaius, not only for walking in the truth and love and for obeying God's commandments, but Gaius is a generous man and opened up the church and opened up his wallet to the traveling itinerant pastors and missionaries who came through. What John is saying is, Gaius, three cheers for you.
You're listening to Something Good Radio with Dr. Ron Jones, and today's message, 2 and 3 John, Walking in Truth, Love, and Obedience, along with all of Ron's messages, can be heard on demand at somethinggoodradio.org. Use the radio tab at the top of the homepage, that's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, take a look at a discipleship coaching experience developed by Dr. Ron Jones called Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. Look for Something Good courses at the top of the homepage.
Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio. If you've been with us for a while, if you're a regular listener and God is using this broadcast in your life, I want to speak directly to you. When you first tuned in or streamed Something Good, did you know that other people paid to air that program? We call them our ministry partners. They have people just like you in mind when they donate monthly to Something Good, which is a 100% listener-supported ministry. Now that you're a regular listener, will you do the same? Will you help us share Something Good with someone else? We created the 828 Club for people who choose to partner with this ministry through prayer and monthly financial support. It's based on Romans 8:28, which in the message says, "Every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good." I'm asking you to prayerfully consider joining the 828 Club today by giving $28 or more per month to share Something Good with someone else. And when you do, we'll send you some resources to help you grow in your relationship with God. It's our way of saying thanks for your partnership in this gospel ministry. So please join the 828 Club today. Here's Brian with all the details.
None of us can accomplish God's will without a little help. Today, with your help, Something Good Radio will keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through these radio and internet broadcasts. When you partner with us here at Something Good, we'll send you a free copy of Ron Jones' full-length book, Mysteries of the Afterlife, exploring its amazing secrets. To join the 828 Club today, please visit our website, somethinggoodradio.org, and look for the Partners tab at the top of the homepage. That's somethinggoodradio.org, or call 757-276-1099. And remember, if you can't become a partner but would like to make a donation of $50 or more, we have a very special thank you gift to share with you. It's Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Volumes 1 and 2 can be yours by request when you invest $50 or more into the media ministry of Something Good. When you order the print versions, you'll also get unlimited access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The online library includes electronic versions of the book, plus video sermons, audio messages, and downloadable sermon notes on all 66 books of the Bible. For more information, visit somethinggoodradio.org.
Now, I love the fact that we have these little postcards in the Bible, because God's just sort of lifting the lid on all the politics of the church, right? All politics is local. That may work in Washington, D.C., but we don't need politics in the church.
That's next time when Ron shares part two of his message, 2 and 3 John, Walking in Truth, Love, and Obedience. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.